Blog Talk Radio.
Prelate Bishop Derek Robinson. You're listening to KDFI Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everyone. You are listening to KDFI Radio, Kingdom Radio for Kingdom people. You know what this is. This is the show that features the anointed and the appointed in God's kingdom. I am your host, Bishop-elect Demel Elliott Hubbard, and I am so excited about our segment on today, The Cost of My Yes. And I tell you, we have some anointed and appointed Holy Ghost-filled, fire-baptized guests on today. You don't want to miss this show. It's going to be dynamic. So I need you to text somebody, call somebody, let them know they need to get on KDF. I Radio, amen. That call-in number is 516-387-1673. Again, that call-in number is 516-387-1673, amen. And before we delve into the topic that so many of us need to hear about, we want to remind you that KDFI, where Bishop Derek Robinson is our international presiding bishop, is one of the fastest-growing and most dynamic fellowship anywhere on the planet. That is just a fact. So we want you to do this for us. Go to kdfi.net and see what this dynamic fellowship has to offer. That's kdfi.net. Well, we're excited to welcome our leaders to the show on today. We want to welcome Overseer Raquez Moore, Dr. Chauncey Sims, Pastor Tamora Darden, and Overseer Michael White. God bless you all, and welcome to KDFI Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Hey, man, it is so good to hear your voices on today. I'm excited because I know you all have a story on the inside of you. I know God has done some amazing things in your life. Each and every one of you have said yes to the Lord, and there is a cost to our yes. But before we get started, and I have so many questions for you all, but before we get started, we want you all to let the people know where you're from and where you serve. So, Pastor Tamora Darden, let the people know where you're from and where you serve.
I'm from Raleigh, North Carolina, and I serve as Champions for Christ Global Ministry.
Amen. Hallelujah. Bless you, mighty woman of God. Amen. So, Overseer Michael White, let the people know where you are from and where you serve.
I'm originally from Austin, Texas, but I serve in Lubbock, Texas, as the shepherd of the Pilgrim Baptist Church, and we are so grateful to be overseer designate of the West Texas District.
Amen. Praise God. Bless you. And we want Overseer Moore to come forth.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is the Overseer Destiny of Rockwood Moore. I am the State Overseer for Virginia for the wonderful fellowship of KDFI under the leadership of Bishop Derek Robinson. I am also the CEO of the Virginia Community Church in Portsmouth. Glad to be here.
Amen. Now, we want the people to be able to hear you. There's a lot of noise in the background. So we're going to ask if you are driving to mute your phone, or perhaps you can just mute until I call you, because there's a lot of noise in the background. And we want the people to hear you. Amen. So we're going to ask that you would do that. All right. Well, we are going to get started. Amen. We are so excited again about our show. And for those of you who are just joining us, we are talking on the topic today, the cost of my yes. And so right now we want to bring in Overseer White just to talk a little bit about why sacrifice is so important in ministry. Overseer White.
Thank you, Bishop-elect. Sacrifice and ministry go hand in hand. In fact, sacrifice and the Christian walk go hand in hand. Obviously, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ made the ultimate sacrifice on the cross of Calvary for us, but he commanded that we pick up our crosses and that we deny ourselves and we embrace him and follow him daily. And so as it relates to ministry, when the Lord calls any of us to higher calling in ministry, he's also calling us to a greater sacrifice. And we'll find that it's impossible to be in ministry without being wounded. If you're going to lead, if you're going to lead sheep, you're going to have to smell like the sheep. And in the midst of that,
Lord,
you are going to have battles with everything in the pasture. And I came to tell somebody that everything in the pasture is not a sheep. There's some goats in the pasture.
Woo!
There are some wolves in the pasture. There are some snakes in the grass in the pasture. And the job of the shepherd is to protect the sheep. And so if you're going to protect the sheep, the Bible says that the good shepherd lays down their life for the sheep, but that a hireling will run at the first sight of trouble. And so the real shepherds will stand on the wall and heed the clarion call, will stand tall in the face of the lion and the bear as David did, and defend the sheep at all costs. But it's going to cost you something to do that. And you will not come out unscathed. I can tell you from my personal story and testimony that, someone asked me, because my wife passed away just a few months ago, and we buried her on September 24th from COVID-19. And 36 years old, powerful woman of God, could pray and sing the heaven down to earth. And, man, she and I prayed for others, and they recovered. But we prayed for her, and the Lord decided that he wanted to take her home to be with him, and left me with our children to be able to care for them and the flock to be able to take care of them. And someone asked me, I said, would you have gone to Lubbock, Texas to do this work, start this work 4 years ago, if you knew then what you knew now? And I said, absolutely yes. And let me tell you why. Because good soldiers always obey orders.
Hey, thank you, God.
Look, God, hey. I could shout all by myself. Wait a minute. That if the commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ, gives me an order, I do not have the luxury of saying no. If he says go,
I go.
And wherever he tells me to go and whatever he tells me to do, I have to do it. And so even though I didn't know all that would unfold 4 years later, I believe that God said go. So we went and did what the Lord said do, and the blessings that we've received have been amazing, even though the sacrifice is just as great. And so I would tell all of you to keep your hand in God's hand, listen to the Lord, do what God tells you to do. I tell you, when I came to the church where I minister now, I saw 30 years worth of ministry that needed to be done, and God instantaneously showed me a vision. And I said, I think the Lord is calling me here, and I'm going to be back. And I tell you, he did bring me back. I didn't know what it was going to cost us to see that come to pass. But I'll tell you what, in the midst of all this, while my wife was dying and making her transition from earth to glory, we were finishing up a $750,000 reconstruction project. And in the midst of that, even after we finished, even though she didn't get to see it completed, we finished it and completed it. And when we were done, it was appraised at $1.2 million. You can't tell me what God won't do. Now, it costs us something to get there. It costs us something to get there. But the sacrifice is worth everything if you do what God said to. And so that's my encouragement for anyone today, is just hang in there, do what the Lord says do. It's going to cost you something, but I guarantee you his rewards are worth it.
Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Woo, what a testimony. Oh, my God. And I know we'll go a little deeper as the show goes on, but thank you, Overseer White. That was so awesome. Amen. And we're going to go to Pastor Darden. Let me tell you, this is a powerful woman of God. And we just want to hear just really quickly, because we're going to get deeper as we go, tell us why sacrifice is so important in ministry.
Well, to me, sacrifice is so important in ministry is because of the fact you have to have a made-up mind, first of all. If you don't have a made-up mind to sacrifice, you would never get the job done. You would never get it done. And that's why you got to make up in your mind from the beginning, am I going to do this or am I not going to do this? And when you do it, you need to make sure that you have a sure enough yes down on the inside and say, Lord, I will take this sacrifice in order to bring you glory. Now, if you're going to take the sacrifice in the beginning, you need to make sure that, okay, God, when I take this sacrifice, I'm not going on my own. I'm going through and by you. Because I know only through and by your strength and your ability and your wisdom and your knowledge, that's the only thing that's going to cause me to continue to go through this sacrifice, because you're going to have to equip me to be able to go through this thing. So we got to really count up the cost in everything that we say. When we say we sacrifice, we got to make sure that when we say this yes and God, I'm willing to pay the price, you got to make sure how deep the price goes. How much is it really going to cost you? You got to know within yourself that you have enough to be able to pay it as well. So that's why whenever you do set the sacrifice and you do say yes, you better know what you say yes to. You better know that God is definitely going to say, okay, now you saying yes to me now. Are you going to still say yes when you're bleeding? Are you still going to say yes with tears coming down your eyes? Are you still going to be able to say yes whenever you don't feel like it? You got that yes is beyond your flesh, and that's why the sacrifice is so important to understand, first of all, the sacrifice, because once you do have a sacrifice, you make the sacrifice and completely say yes, that means you're giving God the access to your whole being to be able to use you in any form or fashion to be able to walk completely into sacrifice. The sacrifice could be you dying. Can you say yes?
My
sacrifice and be you talking about, can you say yes? That's why it's important from the beginning to know, to be able to say yes, Lord, the sacrifice. And know the sacrifice is not about,
oh, don't drop the mic and walk away like that.
My God, my God, my God.
Wow.
My God, my God.
Wow.
My
God.
Not about
God. The show
my
has
God.
Just started.
My
we're God. Already excited. Hey, thank you, God.
Woo!
You said and, you something
I'm
there when you said access to your whole being. What? Jesus. Access to your whole being. Hey,
yes.
Because some people want to pick and choose what they'll offer up to God. I'll say yes about this. I'll say yes about that, but not my children. not my finances, not my health. But I'll say yes about that. Those three things I put over the court, I'll say yes about those things. Woo! But when you said access to, I've never heard anybody put it like that. That hit my spirit. Access to your whole being. So all
yes.
of it. Will you say yes to all of it? Oh, my God.
Yes. My God.
Down to your
because
very
you
got to
understand you paid it. Yes. You got to pay the price with your spirit, your soul, and your natural body. People don't understand that you have to pay it in depth price. It's not a surface yes. It's a mind, spirit, and soul yes. All together, whole being saying yes to God. Because all three of them are going to be worked. All three of them are going to have to pay the price.
Oh, God.
My God. Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Upon the
glory.
Amen.
My God.
Glory, your whole being. Woo.
My God.
And I like how you said you got to find out if if there's enough on the inside of you to pay the price. Thank you, God. Amen. Overseer Moore, I know you want a piece of this. Come on, jump into this right now. Tell us why it's so important to sacrifice in ministry.
When we look at sacrifice in ministry, I go back to Abraham and Isaac. How God asked Abraham to sacrifice his own son. And when we understand that sacrificing is just that, it's willing, are you willing to give up something that's so very dear to you to sacrifice the call? We have to understand that sacrificing and being called go hand in hand. You can't be called if you're not willing to give up something. You can't be called if you're not willing to lay some stuff down, watch this here, that prevents you from answering the call.
My God.
You just can't do it. And so the Bible lets us know that when Abraham has been asked to sacrifice Isaac, Abraham had to stop and think to himself, who in the world in their right mind would ask someone to sacrifice your own son? Watch this here. Abraham is now being tested. Because sometimes God would ask you to sacrifice something just to put your faith on trial. Lord have mercy. And so now we are at a place where God is asking us, are you willing to sacrifice that which you are very close to?
My God.
If God would ask you now, are you willing to sacrifice your child? Are you willing to sacrifice your daughter? Are you willing to sacrifice your husband or your wife just so you can get all that belongs to you from God?
My God.
And some of us, I know we're very high-minded. We're very sedity when it comes to God asking us to sacrifice something. But could I interject just a moment, just to go inside your spiritual mindset to let you know that whenever God asks you to sacrifice something, there's a blessing on the other end. Lord have mercy.
Lord.
I know you to understand that whenever God asks you to sacrifice something, he has your promise in mind. Lord, have mercy. Yeah, he the very thing that you've been holding on to at the back side of his mind, because he knows that when he asks you to sacrifice something, what will your answer be? Today my question to you all is that when God asks you to sacrifice something, will you give him a yes?
No.
And I'm not talking about that crybaby yes. I'm not talking about that sedita yes. Your yes has to be authentic. Because you will
My
be tested
God.
In your yes. You will
yeah,
be tested.
You'll be tested.
God bless
yes.
you.
Woo!
May heaven fall upon you. God bless.
Great God. Great God from
Hallelujah.
Zion.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Overseer Sims, come on in and jump in. The water is warm. As a matter of fact, it's
on glory
fire.
To God. The water is warm. Amen.
Come on here.
Amen. The water is warm. Amen. Glory to God. That is powerful. Amen. Sacrifice.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. But since the beginning of time, God has required a sacrifice from his people. He asked Adam and Eve for the sacrifice of obedience. Amen. Amen. And
yes.
Sacrifice is being slaughtered. Amen. See, people don't understand that you got to be willing to take some stuff. You got to be willing to go through
mm-hmm.
some stuff. You got to be willing to receive some stuff. Because when you give God a yes in your spirit, hallelujah to his name, when you say yes to God, you're going to go through some sacrifices. Amen. I can testify to my own life because 2 years ago, I was diagnosed with colon cancer. Here I am at a good place in my life. Here I am doing ministry. Here I am going all over the place. The Lord is using me mighty. And then I go to the doctor. I'm fighting like crazy to get an appointment because I know something ain't right with my body. Hallelujah. And I go to the doctor, and the doctor say, you got colon cancer. The Lord have mercy.
Help
God. My God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, you got colon cancer. I'm thinking cancer. I'm thinking I'm going to die. Hallelujah. Oh, man, I'm just getting started in my ministry. I'm just started reaching people. I started doing the will of the Father. Now I'm diagnosed with colon cancer. Man. Oh, Lord.
The cost
sacrifice.
Of your yes, my God.
Hallelujah. Sacrifice. In the midst of accepting my yes, hallelujah, I had to sacrifice, hallelujah. But in the midst of going through them 2 years in this battle with colon cancer, hallelujah, I can say, just like the overseer just said, that it was a blessing on the end. Hallelujah. Because now I am pastoring the most historical church, hallelujah, in my city. Hallelujah to his name. I'm a part of KDFI. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm getting ready to see the world. Hallelujah. I thank God for the sacrifice. I thank God for giving him a yes in my spirit. Hallelujah to his name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Obedience. Amen.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you, God. And
yes,
listen,
Lord.
I know
thanks.
That the Spirit is flowing because guess what I preached
okay.
this Sunday? Amen. Just this morning, my title of the sermon was Will You Say Yes? And I talked about Abraham willing to sacrifice his
God.
Son.
My God.
Hey,
yes,
so we know that the Spirit is in agreement. Amen. With what's going on KDFI Radio right now, I'm looking in the southern region. What's that? Amen. Dr. Vanita just wrote, will you give God access to your whole being? That's real good, Overseer Tamara Darden. Amen. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, glory be to God. Will you say yes? Now, I want to ask you another question, but we're going to bring in a friend to KDFI Radio, and he's certainly a friend to me because he's my husband. Amen. Bishop Andre Hubbard. Bishop Hubbard, just tell us just real quick, why is it important to sacrifice in ministry?
Praise God. God bless each and every one of you, all of our guests on today and to our presiding bishop, Derek Robinson, our international presiding bishop. God bless all of you today. It is important. It is very important to know for sure that you can say yes. And the sacrifice that it takes, that you have to make to say yes, I have my own testimony as to the sacrifice you make when you say yes to God and yes to his will. I don't even know how to get it started to what God did for me in terms of me answering and saying yes. What a sacrifice to pick up and go from one city to another, in from Columbus, Ohio to Dallas, Texas. I gave my testimony this morning in service how God just told me to leave my job in Columbus, Ohio, and pick up and go to a whole new city I've never been to before. Leave and go to a city and a state that I've never been to or have family in or even know anyone. And not the sacrifice was not pre-planning. He didn't say call ahead. He didn't say get set up housing before you get there. He didn't say make sure you have a job before you get there. He didn't tell me to do. He said pick up. He said what he really said was reposition yourself. Are you willing to reposition yourself? Are you willing to make this sacrifice for me, for this, for your ministry? I had a job. I had a good job in Columbus, Ohio. I lived there for 10 years doing well, and God said go. God just said, one day God just said, move to Dallas, Texas. Move, just pick up and go. And all and the only thing I did, I said, yes, Lord. I said, I don't understand what's going on. But how many of you know when God says yes, you either do what he tells you or you suffer the consequences. And so I wrestled with it for a little while, but then I finally came to the conclusion that if I don't do what he tells me to do, I'm going to be stuck in this mess that I'm in. And I got up and went and got my last check from my job, and I didn't get on a plane. I didn't get on a train, but I got on the Greyhound bus, and back in 2006, I got on the Greyhound bus with everything that I had and took a 14-hour ride from Columbus, Ohio to Dallas, Texas all by myself because this was part of my yes. This was the sacrifice that God was having me to make, and I didn't understand. I'm like, Lord, what are you doing? I get there, and when I get there, mind you, when I get there, there's nothing prepared for me. I did not pre-plan anything. God just said go. So therefore, what am I? I'm homeless. I don't have a place to stay. I don't know where I'm going. When I get there, I know nothing about nothing. God just said go. But in my going, I just felt like, what is God doing? Why am I doing it? I had no understanding, no clear picture as to why God was sending me to a place I've never been before. Why was God sending me to a place unprepared, or at least I thought was unprepared for me? No housing or anything, no job. And I end up staying in a homeless shelter. And I don't mean just for a couple of days. I don't mean for about a month. I end up staying in a homeless shelter for months. And I didn't understand. Look, I just came from a job. I just came from a job making good money. Now I'm homeless. Now I'm staying in a shelter. Now I'm wandering the streets. Half the time can't get in the shelter, and so I'm living on the street. I'm sleeping under bridges. I'm pacing back and forth all night with my belongings. And still I have no understanding why God told me to come to Dallas, Texas. Next thing you know, doors, God just started opening doors. God was leading me to people. God was my assignment. Come on, somebody. My assignment was right in front of me, and I didn't even know it. I didn't know that my assignment was to minister to these homeless people. I'm so stuck on myself. I'm still I'm stuck on myself. Mm. I'm concerned about my own my own well-being, but didn't know that I was sacrificing my own well-being to service. Come on, somebody. For that's what we are. We are servants. Forget titles. Forget titles. We are servants. And I didn't know that my assignment was right in front of me to serve those that were less fortunate and to be able to experience what they experienced so I can have some kind of understanding as to what they're going through. That was a sacrifice for me. That was and so there is a sacrifice in saying yes. Somebody needs to understand. There is a sacrifice in saying yes. And so that's my God opened up doors for me in that, man. God opened up a brand new ministry in 2013, Men Above Average. I started that ministry right there in a homeless shelter. I'm living in the homeless shelter. God had me to start a ministry for men in the homeless shelter, and on the first day of the ministry, over 50 men joined Men Above, and I did not know that was my assignment.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hey, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes,
thank you, God.
Lord.
There is a sacrifice in your yes. And we know that God will turn our test into our testimony. Yes. We know that he'll turn our
Amen.
Pain
glory to God.
Into our masterpiece. We know he'll turn our pain into our purpose. Oh, glory
My
be
God.
To God.
Yes,
so
yes.
I wanted
yes.
to ask you all about scars.
Many
times it's natural when people have a scar, they try to cover it up. You know, sometimes they'll use makeup or, you know, they'll pull down their sleeves or they'll do anything to hide scars because they're ashamed of the way they look. They don't want people to know about their scars. But I wanted to ask the guest on today, isn't it different for the body of Christ? Right, I can hear a whole another show. We're just going to touch this because this could be a whole another show. I'm not ashamed of my scars. So I just
That's
wanted
right.
to know what you all think about the idea of not being ashamed of your scars and being transparent and letting people know about the cost. Amen. But, of course, that it's worth the cost. So Overseer White, can you just jump into that? Kind of merging two shows together. I'm not ashamed of my scars, but how important is it to let people know that although they're sacrificed, it's worth it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, when you said that, I'll tell you what I thought about when you said that. I thought immediately about Christ's encounter with doubting Thomas post-resurrection.
Yes, sir. Post-resurrection.
And I thought about the fact that while everybody else had seen Christ by then, Thomas was the only one alienated from that anointing.
Mm-hmm.
And so Thomas says, I don't care what you boys saw, I won't believe.
Come on here.
Until I see him for myself.
And
that won't be good enough. That won't be good enough. Even if I see him, I have to touch him. Now wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hold on. You done messed up and got me happy now because I'm thinking about the fact that you cannot be involved in ministry and not be touched by the ministry you're involved in.
Ministry. Come on.
Hold on, God. Wait a minute, because Bishop just said he was living in the homeless shelter, and in the midst of that, didn't realize that he was looking at ministry right in front of his face, that God called him to. And the reason why I believe the Lord called those 50 men on that first day is because they knew the genuineness and the authenticity of the fact that you were touched by your ministry. I heard Doctor tell us in the training on just last night, people don't want to know how much you know until they know how much you care. And might I say this? Folks will follow you when they know you can identify with their scars, because
that's
your
right.
scars mm. look like theirs.
Come on. Talk, preacher.
Help me, Holy Ghost, because, see, Thomas knew that he was scarred. He understood that he was flawed. He was fickle. He knew that he was finite, and he needed to know that if this was going to be his Jesus, this Jesus had to be one who had seen death, tasted death, and overcome death, hell, and the grave. So
yes,
he said, look here, boys, I ain't going to believe until I see him and I touch him for myself. Well, you know God heard him, don't you? Because Jesus showed up while the doors were still locked. And I came to tell somebody that you might have the doors locked to your heart, your soul, your mind, your spirit, your body, your money. You might have your everything locked up, but the Lord will come in through the locked doors of your heart. And he knows exactly where you are and what you need to hear, what you need to see, and what you need to feel.
Mm-hmm.
And when Jesus showed up, he didn't want to talk to Peter. He didn't want to talk to John. He didn't want
John.
To talk to Matthew. He said, where is Thomas?
Where is
my
Thomas?
God.
Come here, Thomas. Come here, Thomas. I was chilling over in heaven, and I heard you say, you wouldn't believe until you touched the nail prints in my hand. I heard you say, you wouldn't believe until you felt the nail print in my feet. I heard you say, you wouldn't believe until you could feel the wound in my side. Come here and touch me. Lord have mercy. And what our problem is as leaders is we don't not only want folk not, we don't want them to see our scars. Not only do we have a problem with that, we got a problem with them touching our scars. We need to help folk know that if you're going to be in this battle, you're going to get scarred.
You're
going to
get
scarred. But it's a battle worth fighting for. And if you get scarred, it's all right to show your scars, because if Jesus could show his, I know we can show ours.
I'm trying to stop.
But I'll tell you something shifted in the spiritual atmosphere when I let folks see my scars. Something happened when they found out I wasn't invincible. Something occurred when they found out that I struggle like they struggle. I live where they live. I feel like they feel. I got the problems that they have. Something happened. Help me, God. Something different occurred when they figured out I wasn't Superman, but I was hooked up with Superman.
Ooh, Jesus.
Thank you, Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Over
to you, Moore. Woo! Jump into this. Glory be to God. Hey, why is it so important for us not to be ashamed of our scars?
As leaders, we will go through so much that will produce scars. And that which we go through, we have to be strong enough, the scar that we have, and keep running. I have an apparel line that says press. Prayer reaches every single situation. Even in your press, there will be scars produced. Why? Because in your pressing, in order to press, you've got to go through.
That's right.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't know that once they had come out of the fire, there would be scars. And I'm not talking about visible scars. I'm talking about scars that lets us know that we've gone through something.
Mm-hmm.
Lord have mercy. I'm talking about scars that will leave evidence that we've been tested, evidence that we've been tried by the fire, evidence that we have come out of the grave like Lazarus, evidence that we are now, we're no longer tied down by our grave clothes. Yeah, scars, scars that will let us know that when we come out of the situation, we won't smell like what we've been through. But I've come to let you all know and to be a living witness today, to let you know that scars are a blessing. They show me that I've been through the trial. They show me I've been through tribulations. They show me that I've been with God. Lord have mercy. They scars are an indication that the enemy no longer knows who he's messing with. Scars are evidence that I have been tested in the fire. Scars is that evidence to let you know that, hey, you know what, devil, you can mess with me all you want, but I've got some stuff in the background. I've got some stuff in my toolbox that lets me know that when you try to come and mess with me, my scars will produce my pearls.
Oh, man.
Scars.
Awesome.
Scars.
They
produce the very purpose. Every time you wake up in the morning, sometimes I find myself waking up with scars on my legs.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where these scars are coming from. It may be the way that I've slept. But I've understood that when I wake up in the morning and I see a scar, it's an indication that I've slept the wrong way. Lord have mercy. It's an indication that something has taken control over something while I've been asleep. But I've come to also understand, people of God, that these scars are not harmful. These scars won't do you no harm. No. Watch this here, and I'm going to leave you with this. Scars don't dictate what you've gone through. They don't dictate what you've gone through. Scars are an indication that you've been with God.
Nice.
And I don't know about you all, but I'm glad I've got some scars that shows that I've been with God.
Amen.
I'm glad I have some scars that shows me that as long as I've been with God, there's a mark on me. I've been left with a mark. And watch this here.
Lord.
God has marked me because I'm his territory. Lord, have mercy.
That's right.
My scars let me know that you belong to the King.
Woo.
How important are your scars? If someone were to come and ask you today what your scars represent, what would you tell them?
Mm-hmm.
God bless you all.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Oh,
glory. I just got a sermon out of that, and y'all better not take it either. The title is, that's going to leave a mark.
That's my job.
Watch yourself.
That's going to leave a mark. What do you say? Don't you take it.
Watch yourself, Bishop. That's good. That's good, Bishop.
That's going to leave a mark. Hey, glory be to God. Hallelujah. I feel that thing all in my spirit. Amen.
And
hallelujah.
And Bishop,
glory to God.
And
we can't be fearful of the mark.
Come on. Jesus.
The mark is an indication that you've been elevated in the spirit. Shita man so cold. Yita man
siya.
Your scars are an indication that you've gone through so much with God
then it's time for you to graduate.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who this is for, but God is about to take you through a scar graduation.
Lord have mercy. Oh, my God.
Thank you.
Oh, there's a prerequisite to your scar.
Woo. Hey, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. I just received that.
Hey, I receive that. Amen. I've been scarred so I can graduate. Come on here. And I see that, and Overseer Sims, I'm coming to you. But see, I'm a professor in a college, amen, and one of the things that I know is that the class that I take, you have to take in order to graduate. Amen. It's an English class. And I had someone who was a science major, and he didn't want to be bothered with English. And so he was failing the class, and he said, I don't have time for this. I've got to work on my major. I've got to work on what I'm interested in. I said, I understand that. He said, so what can you do for me? I said, what you have to understand is this is a prerequisite. You don't get your degree without this class. So you can avoid it as much as you want, but if you ever want to walk on that stage,
come on.
And just hear this. The courses that I teach, they're called gateway courses. Oh, come on. come on here now. So if you want to get through the gate, come on. You've got to take this course. And there I want you to hear this now. There are students who they try to, because they say, I'm not good at writing, I'm not good at English. So they take everything they can. They go around everywhere they can. There have been times where students were ready to walk, and they were told, you're not walking because you didn't take that class. Oh, come on. So you got to go back and take the class. Oh, look. And
take
there's
the class.
Too many. Now I'm getting ready to mess up here. I should have stopped there, but I'm going to say this one thing. I'm going over to the assembly. Getting ready to mess up. But, see, there are too many preachers now. They know the Hebrew. They know the Greek. Oh, come on now. They can break it down. They have degrees. They understand all of that. But they don't want no scars. But deliver the church from pretty preachers. Deliver the church from pretty preachers.
My God.
Deliver the church from preachers that don't want to be marred, that don't want to be scarred, that don't want to be bruised, that don't want to be messed up. They just want to get on the stage looking pretty and talk about the Hebrew and the Greek. But I came to let you know there is a prerequisite. And if you're going to walk the stage, baby, you got to get the scar. Hey, oh, glory to God.
Come on,
thank now. You, God.
My God.
Hey, Overseer Sim, come on here. Hey,
man,
glory to God.
Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. When I think thank about you. Scars, amen, it reminds me of my own life. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank
just
you.
Like sacrifice. Amen. You have to be the slaughter. Amen. And as I get ready to prepare for this next chapter in my life, I got my story is getting ready to begin the filming stage on CBN, the TV show 700 Club. And the ironic thing about that is when I sent my testimony in, when I talked to the guy in Charlotte, and he was getting prepared to do my story. It was ironic when you came up with this topic because it's called My Scars Tell a Story.
Wow.
Lord. My scars tell a story. I am a living testimony. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Mm-mm-mm. And I can attest to that because of the way I had to go to get to this place right here. And my scars tell a story. They tell a story that I have survived. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. They tell a story that I made it over. Lord have mercy, Jesus.
Yes.
It was times in my life when a car wreck could have killed me, but God.
But God.
Lord have mercy, Jesus.
My God.
It was a time when I was doing life in prison, but God.
But God.
Hallelujah to his name. So I'm just
so honored to know that my scars tell a story. I didn't just get him by mistake. Lord have mercy. I was predestined. Mm-mm-mm. If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be? Hallelujah to his name. So I'm just glorified to the point where, you know, when I think of what I had to go through to get to this point right here that I met in my life, you know, from just, you know, overcoming some of the most difficult times in my life. And I thank God that, you know, that now I'm at a place, you know, even in the midst of KDFI, you know, with as Bishop was reaching out to me and I was telling him, you know, about my scars, you know. And I just thank God that all the material that I have collected over the last 8.5 years, all the series that I've done, all the different things that I've accumulated from prison to this present moment, it's going to be manifested. I'm just giving God all the glory. I'm just giving him all the glory.
Amen.
You know, to be on the 700 Club, I mean, you know, to be a part of KDFI, to you know, finally, because I got the unorthodox resume, you know. I mean, my resume don't look like some people's resume. Amen, amen. But I thank God that it ain't about the resume. Hallelujah. It's about the scars. It's about what you had to go through to get where you at. You know what I'm saying? And I thank God that he had to get me by myself so I can find myself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God.
Thank you, God.
Amen.
Thank you,
yes,
God.
Lord.
Oh, hallelujah. Hey, if you can't give God a shout after that, hey, you must not have a shout
praise
in
God.
You. Oh, glory be to
praise
God.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hey. Hey, thank
Amen.
You, God. We just want to look at some comments. Again, Dr. Vanita, thank you so much for listening. She's saying in the southern region, scars are an indication that you have been tested and with God. Amen, Overseer Moore. And she also said, yes, Dr. Elliot Hubbard, deliver the church that don't want the scars. Amen.
My God, I know that's right. I know that's right.
Yes, and we have a comment from Overseer Tanya Caldwell. Just want to say we have to let go of shame and guilt to see our scars in a positive way. Oh, glory
Amen.
To God. Amen. Just keep
thank
those
you,
comments
Jesus.
Coming. We thank God for all of you. Listen.
Thank you,
Overseer Darden, I need you to come
God
and
bless.
Let us know why should we not be ashamed of our scars.
Wow. I'm listening to everything everybody says, and we can take this in so many different formats. And when I look at and listen to this question, I look at the format that it takes for it to become a scar first. So when we begin to look at it like that, it takes me back to Job. And as Job was walking through what he went through, God sent along his friends along the way. Now, this is part of the yes now. We got to understand, we go back, and when you say yes, that means yes to the Lord, to whatever. That's why I said you got to be saying yes to all areas in your life. He didn't know his yes meant for his friends to come see him in the state of being wounded. That wounded place, because it was no place of his own, that wounded place that when he said yes and the sacrifice, when he said yes and signed the contract with God with that yes, it was a signed contract when he said yes to God. He didn't know what was in that contract when he said yes to God. He didn't know when
My
he
God.
Said yes to God, that meant for Satan to be that saying, yes, Satan, you can come attack my body. That yes meant saying, okay, then it meant yes that my friends, my children can be taken away from me, which caused the scar. That was a layer. It was a layer that when it even came forth in his, when he came back, his wife was cursing. That was a scar. And but then when his friends came and walked with him and seen him with the open wound, now that right there, the open wound. Some people are not going to understand your wound until it becomes a scar. And the reason why they're not going to understand the wound, because it's open. They're going to see the blood. They're going to look at the now state of it. They're going to say, you sinned against God. There was something you did. Why is the church falling apart? Why your wife leaving you? Why is your husband leaving you? Why is your children, your house out of order, but yet you're still preaching? Okay, everybody, if we seek God and we have faith and we know that God can make a way out of no way, well, then why is it that it's not working for you? Open the wounds. Open wounds. Yeah. Sometimes when people see that open wound where you are, because they don't see the finishing product of it becoming a scar, they will judge you at the wound stage instead of the scar stage. And when you come to that place, or whether you walk through that place, you got to understand it's going to stink in that place. It ain't going to feel good in that place. There's shame in that place. The things you started out with, you will not have it in that place. Because why is part of the contract of you saying yes? You didn't know it was going to take them to a near-death experience. To bring forth that scar, he had to walk through the near-death experience to be able to meet God in that low state of his stinking state, of the state of his rotten state. He didn't know it was going to take him to the place to have a conversation with God. So sometimes when we go through things, the scar runs so deep. Now, the scar, now it's one thing to scar, but scars run deep. You have layers of scars. And with that, that's why it's important you have to go ahead and pass the test and say yes and know what you're talking about when you said from the beginning. Because in the mix of the scars, you got to understand there's going to be some pus before the yes comes. There's going to be some infection before the yes comes. There's going to be some scratching because you know the scratching doesn't let you know it's healing. You're going to have to know what antidote to be able to use on it for it to be able to come into healed state, which is the word of God. And you got to keep on preaching, even in the midst of the stinking situation. You still get God, but people still see in the open area what you're going through, the shameful part of it, if I can say, the shameful part of it before it can come to scar. But as long as you can see, Lord, I see you bring me out of this thing, and I know that this scar is going to be my testimony, I want you to look at me in this state. I want you to smell the scent of this thing. I want you to see me at a low place with sackcloth and ashes. I want you to see what a brother said, I lost my wife, but I'm still yet going on anyway. I'm still open. My wound is still there, and it's still perfusion, and it's still, it may be maggots. It may come to the place where you see something bad come to this thing, the maggot come out of this thing. Am I still going to say yes, Lord? Am I still going to say this thing is going to eventually turn into a scar? Am I still going to keep my eyes on God and say, God, I trust you in spite of it? Am I going to look back and say, God, I don't know if this was part of the contract when I say yes, God, but I'm still saying yes, even with these dead things coming out of me, with this thing that sits into flesh. Because see, body, the fleshly body was made into decay, returned back to the dust. So what comes with that is part of decaying, which was the worms coming out of it. It made the devil try to make it look like this thing was unto death. Because the evidence of the worm and the stinking flesh. But because I know who God is and because I know that he is a healer, and he's going to bring me through in the midst of my low state, I'm going to meet God. So I want some people to walk with me in this place to see the open wings. I want you to see me in this low place. I want you to be my eyewitness of what's going on. Because a lot of times we don't want eyewitness. Because we're too ashamed for where we're going to be at. Because truly, God, you let me down. You're going to let them see me in the stage like this. Yes, God said, if this is what's going to bring the scar, I want them to see you in this place.
That's right.
I want them to see you in this low place. But still, yeah, even with that, even as I go on, because I want you to see my scars because of the fact I want you to see what price it took for me to come out with this scar so you can too can know that you can make it out of this thing all right. It may cause me bleeding. It may cause me unto death. It may cause me losing faith, but as long as the scar comes, which is I know is creating the layer, the tribulations come to make me strong, that's a layer. The crying came to water the ground, to wash off the wound, that's a layer. You got to understand it's a process. So that's why I thank you for the scar. So then when I do turn you around and you see me the next time, you'll say, surely this was God that brought you out because I seen you when you had an open wound. But now that this thing is healed and you're in a better place now and I don't see no more worms, I don't see you at a place of death anymore, surely this was God. God got to leave some type of marker to let people know it was me that brought you from this stage to that one. So that's why it's important to sow the scars. and even going through these things, these shameful moments, because you got to go back and get somebody else that's in that same state.
Amen.
You got to be able to get the keys on how to come out of that instruction, on how to come out of that state. So that's why
thank
in that
God.
Place, I'm telling you, thank you, Lord. I'm telling you, thank you, Lord. It can be mental scars. It can be physical scars. My God, my God. You can have scars in your eyes because of what you see. But when you tell God to take
thank
the bones
you.
Off your eyes, you'll be able to see. Not men looking like trees, but you'll be able to see them in their normal format.
Amen.
So that's why
thank
I got to show people the
thank
scars because
God
did it for me. He can do it for you.
Amen.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Amen. We were talking about the stars, but I love
amen.
How Overseer Darn said, wait a minute, let's go back a little bit. Talk about the open wounds that happens before you even get to the stars. And we want to thank Overseer Tanya Caldwell for another comment. She said sometimes people don't want others to know about their scars due to pride. But I really believe that Overseer Jordan just spoke to that. Because even though it don't look pretty, when you let people see you in that state, and then they see you in a better state, all they can do is say it has to be God. Hallelujah.
That's all they can do.
Amen. That was powerful. Amen.
And one
hallelujah.
Woman of God, may I say one more thing?
And
may I say one more thing? May I say one more thing, if you don't mind? And the reason why you want people, and only a person that's full of shame and doubt and don't really believe God to that extent would be ashamed. If you don't believe God and have the strong enough faith that God is going to definitely bring you out, shame is going to take you out. Shame will make you hide. Pride will make you hide where you are. Did Jesus hide? Did he say a word back to? Did he say a word back to Pilate and the rest of them when they came against him? No, because he knew that he had to show himself of what he was going through. Because if he never would have shown himself at that stage, we wouldn't be able to read about it now to let us know that by your stripes we are healed.
Amen.
So we give God praise for being able to go into that place and being able to be open to that place. And that lets us know we got to go a little deeper. When we say yes, that's why I said when we say yes, we got to definitely show up, get down, and know what yes really mean when you sign that contract. My God, I'm going to leave it alone.
Amen. Thank you, God. See, look, I never thought of saying yes as a contract between me and God.
Yes, ma'am. My God. My God.
That is powerful. When you listen, I know that blessed those who are listening out there, amen, all over the country. That hits somebody's spirit. When you say yes, you're signing a contract between you and God. And that gives license for him to touch every area of your life. Amen. And that is powerful. Woo! But I want to, right now, we have a comment from Overseer Timothy Caldwell, and he's saying, I would say that my scar shows I'm healed, and I'm not bleeding on the sheep or people anymore. Wow. My God. Now, that is powerful. Amen. That if we don't get healed and get in with God, amen, go behind the veil, allow him to heal us, we will bleed all over the sheep. Amen. Overseer Caldwell, I think you gave us a title for another show, Stop Bleeding on the Sheep.
Stop
bleeding on the sheep. Amen.
Yes,
we want to bring in right now a friend, and I'm talking about a longtime friend to KDFI Radio. Overseer John Armstead, bless you, man of God. Welcome to KDFI Radio.
God bless you, Bishop Elect. Good to be here, and I've enjoyed the discussion. And go ahead and share. One of the beautiful things about a scar is that typically the scar is always smaller than the wound. It's always smaller than the wound. And when Jesus showed up in the upper room,
that's good.
The apostles, they were afraid, because one thing about God is God doesn't waste his words. And Jesus showed up to them, in the locked room, and first thing he said was, "Peace be with you." And it says that when he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And in this, one thing that we don't see is we don't see the bloody and marred body that was on the cross. We don't see the body that would show the organs that were exposed due to all of the torment that he went through just to get to the cross. But when he got up here, what he did do is he had some scars, and those scars served as identity marks. Even in the medical industry, when people are trying to identify a body, sometimes they have to go straight to the scars to identify who that person is. And that's some of our scars, our identity marks. But I love that when you see a scar, it's a sign of healing. It's a sign of healing, and but the story that it tells is that I was wounded, but I survived. And me personally, whenever I look at a scar on my body, I'm reminded of the testimony that comes with it.
Amen.
And we as believers, we need to remember those testimonies that people need to hear. But
yeah.
Then there comes a time when, like, when Jesus is coming back, he doesn't gonna have any scars. There's no mention of him having scars when he comes back for us, because scars, you know, there are some scars I had back in the day that I don't have anymore, and they disappeared because they were no longer relevant to my story. No longer relevant. They weren't necessary for people to see in order to see me. And Jesus, the conquering king, when he comes back, he's not having scars to identify himself. But my mind goes back to one of our members who was ashamed of all of her scars from her surgeries. She had several back surgeries, and she used to be ashamed of her body. But when she realized the value of the scars, the testimony of the scars, and the fact that they showed that she was truly healed, she began to celebrate her scars and no longer be ashamed of them, and realized how she could help somebody else because of her scars. And that's all I'd like to share.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Yeah,
thank you, God.
No.
Woo.
Yeah, no sermon.
Amen.
Yes,
no, that was so good, and you giving me something to run with, because you said the scar is always smaller than the wound. And just the little bit you shared, amen, there's so much more. You can give a testimony. I think of my husband, Bishop Hubbard, who just gave a little bit of his testimony. But, oh, my God, if we had time, you would barely believe what he went through and how God raised him up. So many times
Amen.
When we give the testimony, we only give a little piece.
Yeah,
we only give a little piece. But, oh, my God, we can't tell it all. Amen.
We could tell it all.
Oh, my God, if we could really tell what we went through. But many times, you know how in school we used to didn't want to read the book? We what do we want? We wanted the cliff notes. Look, we'd be assigned Shakespeare. We'd be like, oh, no, I'm not doing that. And so we go somewhere and we get the cliff notes so we could talk in class like we had actually read something. And many times
That's
with
right.
our testimony, we just giving people the cliff notes. Oh.
Yeah.
But the wound is so much bigger than the scar. The testimony,
Lord,
it's so much bigger than the little pieces that we share. And I think about how when we get to glory, we're going to be able to tell how we made it over. Amen.
Amen.
We're not going to be limited by the time of a radio show. We're not going to be limited because we're running to this service and that service. We're not going to be limited because we have to jump on another Zoom call. Oh, come on.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Come on.
But we're going to be able to tell how we made it over and be able to tell the whole thing. Amen. And so
thank you for that,
Overseer Armstead, because that just did something for me. Because I've never really told I've told my husband, but I've never really in public told my testimony. I don't know when God's going to release me to do so.
Amen.
Oh, my God. I don't know. I don't know when he's going to release me to do so.
Jesus.
But hey,
he's going to release you. Hallelujah, Lord.
Thank
you, Jesus. My God. My God.
May I say one last thing?
Thank you, God. Hey.
My God.
Oh, but I can tell you that even when I do, hey, I'm not going to be able to tell all the scar. Hey, isn't as big as the womb was. Hey, thank you, God.
Come on.
Hey,
come
that
on.
Blessed me. That blessed me. That blessed me. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hey, thank you, God. Overseer Armstead had one last thing for us.
One last thing. When we have a wound and we see the scar forming, we're encouraged. We're encouraged because we know that healing is in process. But then we have this thing where we keep once the scar is fully formed over the wound, we keep touching it because what we do is like we're revisiting that thing. We're revisiting that area where we were damaged because when there is no pain, that's when we know that the healing is complete. When
that's
I can
right.
revisit that conversation and there's no pain, I know that my healing is complete. When I know that I can be around these people and not experience pain, I know that I have truly forgiven them and my healing is complete. There's the absence of pain. That lets me know
that my
healing is complete.
Thank you, Lord.
That's all.
Thank you, God. Woo! Thank you, God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
Dr. Elliot Hubbard.
Thank you, God.
That's good.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I want you all to share this. Yes, someone wanted to say something.
Yes, I'm sorry, Dr. Hubbard. This is Pastor White again. There's just one thing I was thinking about while Bishop-elect Armstead was talking about that, and that scars are indicative of cover, and that Christ gives us cover so that we can recover.
That's right.
Mm.
Christ gives us cover so we can recover, because if he just left us open, we would never be healed.
That's right.
We never
come
be
on
healed. Here. So he gives
That's
us cover
cool.
to recover. And the other thing I thought about it, you had talked about our yes being a contract with Christ. I want to go further. It's more than a contract. It's a covenant. It's because the reality is this. See, in a contract, both parties are equal. In a contract, I need you and you need me. But in our covenant with Christ, we understand that he is the stronger party and we are the weaker party.
My God.
We need him. He does not need us. But he chose us, even though he did not need us, in order to bring glory to himself.
That's
so
right.
The beauty of our yes is we enter into covenant with Christ knowing that it's going to cost us something. And that though we will make a contribution, though the Lord does not need our contribution, he desires it. And it's in his perfect plan to bring to pass his own glory that he's bringing to himself in his kingdom work. And so that's when you take on a mindset that says, I know the Lord don't need me, but I'm so glad he let me serve him.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God.
I'm so glad he let me participate. I know he don't need me to preach, but I'm so glad he let me preach. I know he doesn't need me to feed the homeless, but I'm sure glad he lets me feed the homeless. I know he doesn't need me to sing for him, but I'm sure glad he gave me a voice to do it anyhow. I don't do it because he needs me to do it, but I do it because he wants me to do it and he allows me to do it, and it brings him glory. So that covenant with him is a beautiful thing because it's one that he made with me before the foundations of the world were even laid. He made a covenant with me before I could talk and tell him yes.
That's right.
He made a covenant with me when he was forming me in my mother's womb. And so now that he's brought me to the place of manifestation where I can do something for him, I'll do whatever he asks me to do, no matter what it costs.
Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I like that. God does not need us. Amen. You know, I know it's a cute thing that we say that, you know, he has no feet but our feet. He has no hands but our hands. He has no mouth but our mouth. And I've heard Christians say that, and that's real cute. But it's not good theology. Because I heard Bishop Lackland say, well, whose mouth did he use when he said, let us? Let us. Come on here. Y'all don't hear me. When he said, let there be light, whose mouth was he using then? Oh, come on. And so I love how you're just letting us know that we're so grateful he uses us, but he doesn't need us. Amen.
He don't.
Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God. That's so good. Mm-hmm. I wanted us to encourage the listeners because we've been talking a lot about scars and we've been talking a lot about sacrifice. But I want you to ensure, I want you to assure those that are listening that the sacrifice, the yes, is worth the sacrifice. Amen. I just want you to assure them that the yes, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. Amen. And so, Overseer Moore, can you just come, amen, and just let the people know that it's worth the sacrifice. The yes is worth it.
If you have a pulse, that simply means that you still have a purpose. And because I have a pulse, because I'm able to breathe, because I have a purpose, that automatically lets me know that the sacrifice has been worth my time. It also lets me know that, hey, I am in the land of the living because I was able to sacrifice what God has placed on my life, and also that my sacrifice is a mandate to the assignment. I'm mandated by God to sacrifice any and everything that he puts in my ear to sacrifice, even those things that he puts in my hand. When we look at Exodus, God tells Moses, he says, what's in your hand? What are you willing to do with what I've placed in your hand? What are you going to do with the rod that I've put in your hand? And in sacrificing things, we have to understand that there are some things that we would desire to be in our hand. But because we have an assignment, because there are some things that we have to abort due to the sacrifice. And that's why it's so paramount. That's why our assignment is an integral part as to what God has placed in our hands and what God has placed in our bellies to do, because we are anointed. Watch this here. We are anointed for the sacrifice. We're equipped that God would have us to sacrifice. It's just that simple. Because he's called us to it, he'll break us through it. Because he's called us to it, he'll help us to do what needs to be done when it's time to sacrifice the lad that he needs us to sacrifice. God bless you all.
Thank you.
Thank you, God. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Overseer Sims, let the people know that the yes, that it's worth the sacrifice. Let them know it's worth it.
It's worth the sacrifice. It is worth the sacrifice. These have been some blessed topics. Amen. Just realizing that that we are more than overcomers. Amen. I remember a guy telling me that, you know, that he survived. I said, I want to do more than survive, but I want to be an overcomer. Amen.
Come on here.
Amen.
Yes.
I want to do more than just survive. I want to be an overcomer. Amen. Amen. And just listening at these powerful messages that have went forth on the airwaves, it's just been a blessing just to hear some of these stories and how God can just do it. And, you know, when I look at my own life from where God brought me from to where I'm at now, you know, I have that assurance, amen, because I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. You know, in many, I tell people like this, I've done in this pandemic. In this pandemic alone, I kept records. I've done 289 funerals, doing whether it was preaching it, whether it was providing it, whether it was doing a prayer or scripture or something in this pandemic. And I would tell people, you know, it's good to have insurance, but you better have us on. Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
That is the assurance that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, going through the scar, the wounds to the scars, being healed and realizing that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And when I look at my own life and I think about the things that I've overcome, I thank God for just putting me in this place, this position that he had me in right now. That is a blessing. Amen. And I want to encourage the listeners that don't give up. Don't give in. Don't give out.
That's right.
Just realize that you can be an overcomer. Just realize that no matter what come your way, no matter what you have to go through, no matter what you have to deal with, no matter what how dark it may get, sometimes you can't see God, but you got to learn how to trace him. Hallelujah to his name. Sometimes you can't hear God. Hallelujah. But you better know his word. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Amen. Sometimes you have to motivate yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're going to have people that come at you. You're going to have people that try to tear you down. But you got to learn how to motivate yourself. You got to learn how to get in a quiet place. You got to learn how to get in that still place. Hallelujah. Amen. And that is how you get that assurance. Amen. Because you learn how to overcome through the trials and tribulations of your life. You learn how to overcome. You learn how do I know God is a deliverer? Because he delivered me. Hallelujah. How do I know God is a provider? Because when I was broke, $1,000 cash at times. But then it was times when I had $2 and $3 in my pocket. Hallelujah. But I had more peace when I had $3 in my pocket than when I had $350,000 in my pocket. Hallelujah. That's the power of overcoming. Hallelujah. How do you know God a healer? I know God a healer because I get down on my knees for the last 2 years. I ain't had but a choice to get down on my knees because I got to empty a bag into a commode every night, all throughout the day sometimes. So I ain't got a choice but to get down on my knees. Hallelujah. But I know God a healer. Why? Because he healed my body. Hallelujah. That's the assurance. You once God take you from faith to faith and glory to glory, from one testimony to the next testimony, to the next testimony, to the next testimony, then you create that avenue of assurance. Amen. And now I just give him the praise, I give him the glory, and I give him the honor. Amen. Amen. That's the assurance.
Hallelujah.
Amen. God.
Thank you, God. I'm so grateful that he healed you. Hallelujah.
Amen. Yes, Lord. And
thank
he's still
for letting people
back.
Know.
Yes, Lord.
He's still
yes,
in the
Lord.
Healing business.
Woo. Yes, Lord.
Thank you, God. Oh, man of God, what a testimony you have. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Woo. Over
and let me add something to this, Bishop. I remember when the Lord first started dealing with me about taking me to the next level. And I was so nervous because of what I had come through. And the Lord told me, I'll never forget this. He said, just because I had an unorthodox story, he said, one thing I want you to do, he said, I want you to beat telling your story. Beat the people telling your story. If you beat the people telling your story and never let your story outshine my glory, you'll be all right. And that's how I learned how to testify. That's how I learned how to be transparent in some of the most difficult situations. You know, people turned their back on me. They were like, he's too transparent. He too transparent. But then CBN called. They want to know because I stayed faithful. I stayed transparent in the midst of some of the darkest moments. And he told me, he said, and that's the word I want to give you. Always remember that. Hallelujah. Your testimony, hallelujah, has the working power to shake the depths of hell. And that's what he told me. He said, you beat people telling your story. So now when people say, oh, he was a kingpin, they already know it because I told them.
My gosh.
Yeah, you know he had multiple houses. You know, he had multiple women. They already know it. I told them. Hallelujah to his name. Oh, I beat people telling my story. So now it don't even matter because I done told them. Jesus Christ.
Wow. My God, Lord. Today. Hallelujah. That, woo,
yes, Lord.
I don't think we've ever had a former kingpin on KDFI radio. My God. Woo. You have a testimony.
But God.
We are grateful for
but
where God has brought you from. But God. Hallelujah. But God. Overseer Darden. Amen. We have a testimony for you. Amen. The devil is a liar. Yes. Amen.
The
you
devil
use
is
that
a
noise,
liar.
Whatever it is. Amen.
Yes.
Overseer Darden, just tell the people why it's worth it. There's just enough time for you and Overseer White, amen, to come with the last word. Just briefly tell the people why the yes is worth it.
The yes is worth it because of the glory behind the story. And whenever we begin to come to the place of saying yes, and the yes comes out so purifying, you'll be able to not only just show where you come from, you'll be able to praise where you came from. And once you get in that place, you'll begin to, the blessings begin to release. The yes is like the key to bust the blessings wide open. The yes is the key to release the things that God said come to you. Just like we heard so many of them before, just talking about their testimony and how God blessed them afterwards and how God blessed them to be free and delivered and, you know, set free and everything. That's why it's important to say yes, because after the yes, freedom comes, glory comes, and victory comes.
God. Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Woo! Hallelujah. Powerful. Amen. Thank you so much, Overseer Darden. Overseer White, amen. We want you to come and just tell us, why is the yes worth it?
All along, we have been able to hear about stories that mirror the stories of great men and women in the Bible like Job. And one thing I discovered in my own life is the yes will initially cause you distress. It doesn't come without a cost. I remember when my late wife and I sat down and told the Lord we would go anywhere he wanted us to go and do whatever he wanted us to do. And he was taking us from the Houston area to the Lubbock area. Now, folk move from Lubbock to Houston, but I don't know too many that go from Houston to Lubbock. Never mind. I don't think nobody caught that. But what I'm trying to say is you go from a small town to a major city. You don't go from a major city to a small town. And God had us going in what seemed like reverse. And he was making this move, and we were trying to be certain that that's what he wanted us to do. And I'll tell you what the Lord did. The Lord caused Hurricane Harvey to come and take our house, take our cars, take our furniture, take our clothes, take everything from us.
My God.
And I tell folk this. The Lord washed us out of Houston and dried us up in Lubbock.
Hey, come on here.
Never mind. I tell you one thing. You ain't got to worry about no hurricanes in Lubbock, Texas. Hey, there's no body of water close enough to cause a hurricane in Lubbock, Texas. Amen. But the Lord washed us out of Houston. He dried us up in Lubbock. And let me tell you something, Bishop Elect. We came to the Lubbock area with nothing. We had lost everything in the hurricane. All we had was some blow-up mattresses, some hand-me-down clothes from Great God, the little secondhand stores, and a couple of flat-screen TVs we had been able to get secondhand through pawn shops for the kids. That's all we had. But we had a yes. We had a yes. And we had a covenant through that yes with Christ. And we believed that God would do what he said he was going to do. And let me tell you something. We arrived here in Lubbock, Texas, December 27th, 2017. It was almost 2018, and it was snow on the ground. It was cold. It was damp. It was dark. But we had hope in Jesus Christ. And the Lord said, keep your mouth closed. Don't you say nothing. And watch me work. I didn't complain to the church. I didn't complain to the community. I didn't complain to nobody. I did what the Lord said. I held my peace and I let him fight my battle. And let me tell you what the Lord did. The Lord somehow allowed the local church community to hear what we had been through, even though we didn't publicize it. And within 2 weeks, the Lord had furnished our whole house. We had new beds. We had new furniture. We had new appliances, new dishes. They even gave us money to buy new clothes. Don't tell me what God won't do. I wish somebody would just shout double for your trouble. Because that's sure enough what the
double
Lord did. He gave us double for our trouble. Not only did he do that, but we stayed in that leased home, that rented home that God had fully furnished after allowing us to lose everything. And when I tell you, I say double for your trouble, but really, we had three of everything. I don't care if it was a crock pot, I had three of them. If it was a microwave, I had three of them. Whatever it was, I had nearly triple to quadruple of whatever I needed, so much so we had to give some stuff away to some other people because we just couldn't hold it all. And then in the midst of that, we begin to pray and say, Lord, we don't just want to be renters. We don't just want to be leasers. But if you want us to be here, we want a home of our own. And let me tell you, the Lord began to move in a mighty way. And it seemed like Satan was getting busy because the home that we were leasing that God had miraculously furnished in 2 weeks of our arrival when we had nothing, the person decided that they wanted to sell it out from under us. And we didn't have anywhere to go. And my wife was in trepidation. I said, don't worry about it. Let's go in prayer and fasting and see what God has to say. And the Lord put a lady in my mind who I had forgotten I knew. And this lady lived in our neighborhood then at the time. And the Lord woke me up out of a somber sleep and said, call this woman. She has the answer for what you need. Call this woman. She was in real estate. She showed us three houses. And let me tell you something. The third house we bought within 2 weeks of her showing. God's just able. He's just able. And I ain't talking about no little house either. I'm talking about a real house. a house in the neighborhood where folk want to be, that wish they could be there, in the school district that they wish they could send their kids to, and all of the above, because that's what God will do with your yes. It might cost you something, and it will cost you something, but it's worth it. It's worth it. And he will give you double for your trouble. He'll give you triple for your trouble if you trust him. And he'll give you a testimony like none other that you'll be able to tell the world. And when the world hears it, they won't see you. They'll see your Jesus high and lifted up. And they will be drawn to the cross of Calvary and be saved. Just as it was already said, it's not about our story. It's about his glory. And the more we decrease, the more Christ will increase. And if we do that, then we know we have done our assignment. God bless you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on now. Hey, that is a word. That is a word. That is a word. I believe, thank you so much, Overseer White. I believe we have our international presiding bishop on with us, Bishop Derek Robinson. Are you with us, Bishop?
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
We give glory to the Lord. Amen. Listen, God bless you out there in Radio Land. We certainly praise God for you. I want y'all to just go into WhatsApp and just talk about how this is blessing you. Amen. We thank God for our host today. That of Bishop-elect, the male, Elliot Hubbard. Listen, there is a cost to your yes. You know, I heard Overseer Michael White sharing. I'm looking in the WhatsApp. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Hallelujah. But I want to share with you my yes. I remember a service. We had a powerful worship at my church in Mississippi. I'm talking about the glory fail. And I was in a place. Right before the glory fair, I was in a place of Overseer White. I was wondering to God, what's next? I had planted this church, left the Baptist church that I was pastoring, and God told me to begin to do this. And I went through a season where I'm like, God, you told me, but what I'm about to do? I don't really see your hand like I really wanted to, but I yet gave God a yes. And I remember I went to a service. And while I'm in this place, I'm really in a place, I'm really wondering, have God left me? Y'all ain't never, if you ain't ever been there, keep on serving the Lord. Hallelujah. Keep on doing ministry. And I was in a place and I wondered, God, what's going on? And I gave God a fresh yes. And in my yes, about 3 weeks after that, the Lord showered down the place. The glory hit us. Then we had a guest preacher came. And the preacher prophesied, and they said, Bishop, God said, give him another yes. And as I gave God a yes, the Lord spoke to me on that Monday morning. He said, I want you to pack everything in your house, and I want you to move to St. Louis. I said, that's not God. That's of the devil. I had over close to at least $90,000 worth, probably more, of items in my house. On the wall, had, if you know anything from the South, you have heard of Home Interior, had it all filled with my house. The Lord told me to pack everything and leave. I packed everything in the matter of a week, and I was out of the city. I'm telling you what a yes will cause. And paid my deposit for my new house, because now I'm online trying to find a house, then paid a house. Got to the city, Bishop-elect Elliot. And when I got, the people told me, your deposit is non-refundable, and the house is not ready. And I said, now, Lord, I'm 7 hours from my mama's house. I done left the house that I done bought, left my church, all because I told God, I hope you bless somebody. And I got transitioned. The Lord blessed me, and God kept saying to me, he said, will you still say yes? And I'm like, God, I'm going to say yes. So I'm a bishop at the time. This is about 10 years ago. 11 years ago. And I've been pastoring now over close to 16 years, going to my 17th year in June. And so I'm serving God, praising the Lord. I'm pastoring a church in St. Louis by this time, and nowhere to live. Nowhere to live.
My God.
I'm living in my thoughts. No one knows it, so I thought. I had a routine every day. I would sleep. Listen, this may bless you, but I'm telling you what a yes will cause. I'm sleeping in my car. I'm driving to school. There was a college day. I'm in the college all day. Go to a pastor friend of mine. I told him, man, I don't want to take a shower. He don't know why I'm going to take a shower. I'm just taking a shower in the house. Glory to God. And so one of the members called me, and if you know me, particularly at that moment, I was real, you know, real grandiose. I'm driving a nice car and, you know, living in my trunk, glory to God, because I heard God told me to go. It didn't make sense, but I obeyed what God said. And so I'm pastoring a church, left a nice church. Our church had started to grow, and we had an anniversary, and I'm telling they raised so much money in that year, and now God tells me to go get to the city, and I got to put my stuff in storage and now have no place to live. Here it is, Bishop-elect, the storage burned up.
My God.
And not only was my stuff gone, the whole everybody that had this stuff there. I had a member to move from Mississippi with me. Lost everything. We had nothing. Now all I got is the stuff that's in my truck. Will you still say yes? And my answer to God is still yes, Lord. And so in losing it all, nowhere to sleep. One of my members called me and said, Bishop, the Lord woke me up last night and told me to let you stay. I have a finished basement, two bedrooms downstairs. You could stay in that. It's yours. I'm like, a basement? But mind you, I ain't got nowhere to go. So if God told you, I'm going to do it. Hear this.
Thank you, God.
About a month later, a woman of God called me and said, I have a four-bedroom house. Glory to God. And the Lord told me to give it to you. Lord, have mercy. In the process, glory to God. Now God done blessed me with a house I didn't even pay for. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In a nice neighborhood. When you tell God,
So in this process,
I go to pay one day, but right after that, I go to pay. Glory to God. So now the Lord done blessed me with a church, blessed me with a house. Now I'm driving a car. The Lord tells me about 3 days before, he says, that this car is coming to an end because there's only so far that this car is not where you're going. He said, you can't drive like this because you're blessed beyond this. So I get to, you all heard of Sprint, I get to the Sprint store, and I'm in the store looking for a new phone. And I hear somebody say, the car is on fire. I'm like, they can't be talking about me. So I'm just looking. They said, sir, your car is on fire. I just get out of the car. 2 seconds later, a white man of God that's at the store said, the Lord told me to write a $10,000 check to you towards your new car. So I'm just thinking he could go give a new car to me, you know, get his $10,000. Then after the $10,000, he said, let's go to the car lot and pick the car that you want to drive. And I'm going to pay it cash money. All I'm telling you is that when you give God a yes, it may look crazy, and he may take everything. Will your answer still be yes, Lord? Will you say, God, this don't make sense? Hallelujah. This thing is crazy. But God, my answer is still yes. Hallelujah. Will you still lift your hands? Will you still preach the word of God when it don't look right? Hallelujah. And everybody, all eyes on you. Hallelujah. But will your answer still be yes? So people don't understand what, they don't understand the glory that's on your life. They don't understand how things are, how the blessings of God is overtaking you, because they don't know what your yes costs.
Glory
to God. My God, my God.
But I promise you, there's a double anointing. There's a double portion of the glory of God that's going to come on your life after 1 year. Hallelujah. What looked like it's a crazy situation becomes your blessing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So my question to you today, will you still say yes when it looks crazy in the process? Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Glory to God. God will send people to bless you. As Pastor White has said, God will send folk to bless you in uncharted territories. Glory to God. There are people that are waiting for you to sow into your life. But all God wants you to do is to give him a yes. Hallelujah.
Yes.
You're not going to understand it this time. Glory to God. This time is not going to make sense to you. Glory to God. It looked like hell is breaking loose after your yes. But glory to God, I come to encourage about 12 of you on the line and watching online or listening to the radio. I want to encourage you today. Hey, God, that there is an anointing that's coming to you. There's a blessing that's getting ready to overwhelm you with the glory of God. And God's getting ready to, I'm telling you, folks, will be to sow into your life like never before. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You're not going to quit. You're not going to throw in the towel. But all you, listen, you're not even going to understand this one. You're not even going to be able to tell how you got there, how this manifested. But all you know, thank you, Pastor Dawn, you said the antidote is your yes. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Job. He lost it all after he gave God a yes. Thank you, Joseph. Hallelujah. He lost it, but God gave him double time. Glory to God. And sometime in your yes, God will take stuff from you. Hallelujah. He'll take your spouse from you in your yes. He'll take people. God need you. Got them because you gave me a yes. Yes. I'm going to leave it there. Hallelujah.
My God.
Woo.
My God.
The cost of your yes. Hallelujah. Amen.
Ooh, Jesus.
It's back in your hands. Hallelujah.
Woo, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, God.
Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God. Oh, we thank God. Hallelujah. We thank God for that powerful testimony from our international presiding bishop. He has spoken into our lives. Amen. And listen, I receive that word. Hey, when you say yes, a double portion. Amen. Hallelujah.
Oh,
double. Just somebody, if you're in the WhatsApp, just put double portion, double portion, double portion. Amen. Double portion. Oh, glory be to God. We have 11 minutes left. We're going to bring back our international presiding prelate because he has a request to make. Amen for KDFI Radio. But I hope that you're typing in double portion because I received that word. Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
Double portion.
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah. And as we
double.
Get ready to go from this, I pronounce and announce over your life that because of your yes, that a double portion hit you immediately. And you'll begin
My
to
God.
Walk in the glory of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You didn't build, we'll find you. Shit, how about how? Buildings that you did not own will begin to be donated to you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. People will find you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because of the double portion, churches you didn't build will call you to either pastor them or to lead them. Glory to God. To oversee them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Ooh. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Double be over your life today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That, and I want to encourage you that when it may look like
Jesus,
great God,
that you're losing because you said yes, it's only the beginning of your process. And God, you about to, listen, you just at the brink. You're at the brink of something. And God's getting ready to do it for you. Hallelujah. All right, we're going to have a part two because I feel prophetic. And we almost, Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Listen, we're about to leave, okay? But I just want to say this over Dr. Vanita Johnson. I don't know where you at, but I want you to lift your hands, woman of God. Hallelujah. I didn't plan it, but I felt it in the Holy Ghost, and the Lord told me just now. Hallelujah. You've been in this place wondering, God, what's next? And it seemed like things have not been manifesting for you, woman of God, like the Lord said it. Ministry is getting ready to unfold for you in an unusual way. But I hear the Lord say, God said, I told you, don't second guess the anointing that's over your life. Don't even second guess what God told you concerning ministry. And the And we bind giving up and say, Lord, you know what? I'm not the one supposed to do all of that. But listen, I heard God say, God said, don't second guess. And God, I see the building and all of these. God said, I'm getting ready to make that a download that God's about to do with you prophetically, woman of God. And the Lord said, I'm sending sons and daughters to you in this season. Glory to God. And I hear God say, God said, there will not be a light day in your life. God said, because of the sore that you are. God, hallelujah. God said, I'm sending sores to you for the work of ministry. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen today, people of God, I want us to sow. Amen. Hallelujah. Of course, we understand. Hey, yada Messiah. We got to move. Hallelujah. Because we want to sow into the radio. Amen. And we want to be able to continue to do this. Of course, we want to pay for this broadcast. Amen. And I want you all to sow your seeds today at $KDFI Radio 1. That's $KDFI Radio 1. We want to be able to sow into this broadcast today so we can continue to do this. All right.
Thank you,
Hallelujah.
God. Thank you, God.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay. Yay.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah. And Dr. Benita, every way that has looked shaky, I hear the Lord say, God said, I'm opening up the playing field for you, woman of God. Hallelujah. I see the runway becoming lighter, and it's becoming open for you. Glory to God. It looked like it was a little blurry and looked like the cloud, what they call them things when you can't hardly see. Glory to God. You know what I'm talking about when it's foggy. That's been look foggy for you. Glory to God. But I hear the Holy Ghost. God said, I'm opening up the way for you, woman of God. Hallelujah. And whatever you desire from God in this season, God said, my hands rest on you. Glory to God. God said, you are special to me. Hallelujah. And I hear the, yonder the Bohoshaya. Many have abused you. I see it in the Holy Ghost. And you've been walking with pain for this last 2 years. But the Lord said, today, I'm healing you down in the inward part of your spirit. Hallelujah. And you're about to get ready to raise up other sons and daughters in this season. Glory to God. Walk in your freedom. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank God for our international presiding bishop. Woo. Thank you, God. Come on, just give God. We have a couple more minutes. We have a couple more minutes. And if they cut us off, they can cut us off shouting. Hey, we got a couple more minutes. Just give God praise. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
My
God.
My God.
Hallelujah. Yes,
release.
My God.
Release.
Thank you, Lord.
I receive it. Bishop said immediately. Immediately.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. So we thank God for every single one of our guests, Overseer White, Overseer Darden, Overseer Sims, Overseer Moore. We thank God for Bishop Hubbard jumping in and Overseer Armstead enlightening us. We thank God for each and every one of you, all of you who are listening. Listen, we thank God for you sewing into KDFI Radio. It's been a long time since we asked for a seat. It's been a long time, but we want to keep being able to do this. KDFI Radio 1, we thank God for your seat. KDFI Radio 1. Bishop Robinson, you said we're going to be able to do a part two of this. Hallelujah.
Oh, yes, God.
I think we need, yes, a part two. We need a part two.
Yes,
amen.
Lord.
This has been awesome. We thank God for each and every one of you. We thank God for the visionary, amen, who graced KDFI Radio today. And I tell you, beloved, I just have a feeling that things are getting ready to get better. Hallelujah.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world, listen to these words. People come.
People go.
Your life has been out of control.
You're confused.
But don't worry.
Don't worry. It will get better.
It's got to get
better.
Listening to KDFI Radio.